Hey, you guys, do you love Film Sack? Do you find it entertaining? Do you listen to it and go, man, this is a essential part of my podcast life? Well, consider supporting us at patreon.com/frogpants. That's patreon.com/frogpants. It helps this and other Frog Pants shows survive and thrive. It's all because of you. So help us out. That's patreon.com/frogpants today.
Edward, I know that we haven't spoken in a few years and things ended badly. Or I ended them badly, to be more fair. I didn't want to hurt you any more than I did. Now I must. To the point. I have a daughter. She is a perfect child, and her name is Rowan. She has been missing for 2 weeks now, and I need your help. I should explain. I live on Summer's Isle, a tiny place in Puget Sound. I doubt you've heard of it.
Ah! This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 310. My name is Scott Johnson, and we are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Here on episode 310, I have people joining me, such as Brian Girls of the Corn Dunaway.
Ah, episode flabadab. So, yeah. We'll get back to Roan in a minute, sister. But first, why is this the first I'm hearing about this fertility festival, is it? Because I need some pictures of that. Oh, it's forbidden? Now I'm really curious. Also, will there be any runaway trucks there? Because that's kind of my thing, if you know what I mean. All right, enough talk. Time to punch some ladies.
You know, the way you summarize a film, it's maybe my favorite thing in the world. You just take the very essence of whatever it is and turn it into gold. That's fantastic. Also with us, Randy, he's a dream within a dream within a dream, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Randy. I ever tell you boys about the time I had a seaplane delivery service up in the BC Islands? True story. Mm. We only had 3 rules for seaplaning. Seaplaning. Yeah, that's the thing. 3 rules. Number 1, keep the planes well maintained. Number 2, never turn down a passenger with money the third time he asks, but make him ask you at least 3 times, because that's how you get the big bucks. Number 3, if you have a daily run up to an island covered in druids, don't tell anybody what's going on there. They'll never believe you.
That's the truth.
150 bucks, man. I had to do the math quickly.
Hey, in the 70s one, weren't all those ladies naked? Well, we can talk about that in a minute. Speaking of naked ladies, finally with us, Brian, it's made of bees, Ibbit.
It's made of bees. All right, here comes the crappy Nicolas Cage impersonation.
Okay, right, we're ready. So ready.
I'm so ready.
What's your name? Sister Rose? I should have guessed. Another plant. It's veering into...
Yeah. It's okay.
Oh, Mary, I'll give you the moon. You want the moon?
Steering the skin.
Yeah.
And what do you call this little festival of yours? What? It's a fertility ritual? Oh, my God. You're going to put me on the top of that flammable statue? What do you call the head of that thing? Oh, my God. It's a Nicolas Cage.
Oh, wow. That was groan-worthy, and I love it.
It was amazing. It was amazing. May we ever groan. May we ever groan.
Brian Ibbit, I want to get a place with you. Like, we just move in together and have babies.
Yeah, that was incredible. That was amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a Nicolas Cage. And you know what? Woo, that thing ended abruptly. Anyways, hey, it's Film Sack. The movie is The Wicker Man, long requested by many fans. We're finally getting to it. And we kind of snuck it in. We kind of slipped it into our Halloween lineup. which is why you didn't hear a Scott Fletcher thing at the beginning, or you're not really going to hear one now, because I screwed up and didn't ask him for the thing. But he would have very well written, or he would have, you know, come into this and said,
the
a sheriff,
man.
Yeah, investigating a disappearance of a young girl, blah, blah, blah.
Can I give you a quick summary?
Yeah,
opening thing, before you get to it, Randy, the opening thing you said, which was,
Yeah,
really right, could have. Awesome. I think we did hear that in this film at least once.
At least when you had a cage of bees on your face, you did. But then, other than that, no. Yes, Randy, you were going to surmise it. How you want to do
All right,
that?
So here we go. A quick summary that I found online.
All right.
The film concerns a policeman named Edward Malice, who is informed by his ex-fiancée, Willow Woodward, that her daughter, Rowan, has disappeared and asks for his assistance in her search. When he arrives at the island where Rowan was last seen, he begins to suspect something sinister is afoot with the neo-pagans who reside on the island.
New pagans.
Now,
watch out, Fletcher. Your job's in jeopardy.
I think the reason that we put this on our list, we slipped this into our Halloween October, is we thought it was going to be a horror movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was terrified.
I think we were all under the impression that it was going to be a horror movie.
How do you define a horror movie? I would say, does a horror movie have to have certain ingredients, and where did this movie miss those ingredients? I guess it missed it. I mean, the last 10 minutes are kind of hoary, right? Mm-hmm. And that sounds wrong, but yeah, hoary.
I don't think you have to have necessarily a monster or a slasher or a certain amount of gore, but I think when you look at what this movie is, it's probably better defined as a thriller.
Sure, it's a mystery thriller.
Yeah, sure.
There's a couple of jump scares, but not a lot of. There's a little bit of mystery of, like, he's having a lot of hallucinations in this one. So, yeah, I'm with you. It's mostly thriller. It's supposed to be a mystery thriller kind of thing. Yeah.
But it's sound designed like a horror movie. Like right out of the gate, you're like, "Ooh, I'm in a Stephen King film, and weird things are happening." The sound, not because of what you're actually seeing.
You're talking about in the restaurant where he's getting this self-help book, or are you talking about on the motorcycle?
There's a cop on a motorcycle. I don't know if Nick Cage is the bad guy, right? Like, as far as I know, at the beginning, he could be like a horrible villain who's pretending to be a cop, and it takes a long time for the movie to show its hand and tell you, no, he's just a good guy, a normal cop who's trying to figure some stuff out, and this crazy accident happens right in front of him on the road. Like, but the way that's the sound is playing, you don't know, because the sound design thinks it's a horror movie.
They definitely marketed it as that, and it's listed as a horror mystery thriller. And if you look at the cover box, if you look at the cover art, the post art they did for this, it was during 2006, which was a time when we were all freaked out by kids. You know, if you put a creepy kid on a photo of something, that's going to be a horror
movie. Wait, what's that? The year was 2006 the year of the creepy kid? I don't remember.
The year of the creepy kid,
I'm telling you, like around 2006, mid-2000s, late-2000s, almost every horror movie had a kid. I think probably since when The Ring really hit.
You know what?
I think
you're right. Yeah, you're right. The Ring and, yeah, totally. You're absolutely right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, okay. Grudge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure, all those things. For some reason, I was thinking, wouldn't that be more like the 70s where like the creepy kid with the Omen and Damien?
Back again.
And,
mm-hmm. It's back again.
The resurgence of the creepy kid.
Yeah.
Because the first one was in 73. And there was really no creepy kid there.
Right.
Well, there was.
Oh, that's very interesting. So what you've exposed here is we actually are doing a bit of a rehash on a regular basis. Like, there's, you know, slasher flicks were big for a time in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. Then they came back in the mid 80s. They came back again with sort of the Eli Roth era of, you know, Hostel / Saw, whatever kind of movies in the mid 2000s. Now we're back to haunted houses. We're in the Amityville horror stage, because that's what all the horror movies now coming out are all about, hauntings and things.
It's all about white family moves into a haunted house. Yep. I mean, there are so many of those. It is ridiculous.
Yep. That's what's happening.
Or haunted island in this case.
What's the one now? The big ones now are the summoning of the
moves into a haunted house.
What are the ones that are big right now? The summoning or the horrifying, or what's it called? The
Conjuring.
Those kind of conjuring.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Those are big.
So we've just moved past, if you're listening to this episode 20 years from now, we've just moved past an era of security cam footage movies where you keep seeing the inside of a house.
Mm-hmm. Paranormal activity. Like, yeah. Right.
And sequels to films about people who are engaged in some sort of ridiculous eternal scheme with the devil.
Yep.
and bound to die or evaded death or something like that.
Yep.
Right. We've just moved past that. The purge as well.
Yeah, the purge thing. Kind of cycle. Except the purge thing wasn't really a horror movie. It was more like that was like action adventure with a touch of crazy, right. But it wasn't like a horror movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, the second one actually, I'm going to make a small recommendation here on the side. Mm-hmm. The second movie's pretty good. I like the Purge movie, the second movie. It's actually it's a decent premise and worked out pretty good. Anyway.
So, I like the But we have, regardless of whatever's popular or not popular, we have expectations about horror movies, right?
Yep.
We have these things in mind. Like, it's October. I'm watching something in anticipation of Halloween. There are certain things that are going to happen. Yeah. And Wicker Man isn't that.
No, it's not that. So just to finish out this thought, though, what are we on the edge of to come back? Are we back to slasher horror? Are we getting, every once in a while they try to redo Friday the 13th or Freddy Krueger or something and they screw it up. And
we need a possession horror is probably next on the. We need to return to possession.
I agree.
Demonic possession kind of thing.
I agree. The
Isn't
Fox
that
show.
What happens to little kids?
Well, it sometimes happens to kids, but the Fox show based on what's it called? No. The Exorcism. You know the movie The Exorcist.
Oh,
right?
The Exorcist. Oh.
There's a TV show based on that that's on right now. There are like three or four episodes in. It's really freaking good. Like way better than it deserves to be, which means Fox will cancel it surely. But it's great. Like, it's really genuinely freaky and scary.
So you're saying it's better than the early 2000s Addams Family reboot they did on Fox? Is that what you're saying?
I am absolutely saying that.
Better than that?
What?
I'm saying that without any question in my mind. I'm saying that for sure.
Thank you.
Because that thing was poo. Anyway,
now, this movie, The Wicker Man, had some... It was primarily a cast of a lot of women. It was very focused. This island was ran by a lot of women. So we saw a lot of great... actresses. Well, I wouldn't say great. There were a lot of actresses. There's a lot of actresses in this movie.
Well, they're good in other things.
Out who Kate Willow. I think her name is Kate something Behan. Her name is Behan.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoa.
Yeah. Right? She's been in all. She's a ancient lady who's been in a billion movies. But also what's her name? Lily Sobieski's in it. And
I loved her. She just,
okay.
She just disappeared for a while.
Yeah. I so hated Lily Sobieski in this film because she seems like an android and it's a horror movie. So I don't know. Is she playing someone who's being like mind controlled or something? Like, and I realized, she's just not that good an actor for this role.
They just never got into it. But here's the thing, though. This is a movie full of people who I've seen do incredibly better work in other movies, including Nicolas Cage. Like, they're just better actors in other things.
And Molly Parker is, you know, fantastic in Deadwood and House of Cards and completely crap in this.
Great in Deadwood. Terrible in this. And so is, who's the one I'm thinking of? Mrs. Phipps.
Frances Conroy.
Yeah. Great. They're great actors. And I'm telling you right now, say what you want about, Nicolas Cage, and he's been in some weird shit lately to pay the bills or whatever, but he's had his moments, man. There have been times in his career where you're like, all right, this guy, he's got a new voice in this world of acting, and I really like what I'm seeing here, and he can do stuff. This is just freaking terrible. Like, just bad acting across the board.
Is it bad acting, or is it just bad script? Is it bad writing? I'm thinking it's bad directing, bad acting.
It is bad writing. It's terribly bad writing, because there are so many not plot holes, but things that are introduced that actually have nothing to do with what's going on. Why is the sweater down there in the flooded crypt? Why risk Edward drowning in that crypt, retrieving the sweater when you need him for the ritual? Why is there a grave? Why is there a burned doll in the grave? All these things are like,
it's like a factory that manufactures chicks in the bucket.
Right.
This is kind of like though when you watch a college football team lose and you feel like, oh, they should have won, and you can't figure out whether you want them to bring in the freshman quarterback next time or fire the head coach. Like, it doesn't matter. It was all bad. Yeah. I can't imagine Nick Cage better performing a better script, you know?
But having a big reveal at the end of what's really going on is so much better when you can look back and see all the clues that could have led you to that, to figuring that out. And there was nothing really that was going to make you say, oh, it's all a ruse to get him He's right. the sacrifice, not the daughter.
Right. And he has to do it. He has to do it on his own. But I'm like, he didn't do it on his own. He was minding his own business. And right. all of a sudden you come run a truck right in, you know, right over these people in a station wagon who disappear and are alive at the end and take off their mask. And I'm like,
okay, that was them. Close. I was wondering if that's who. If
that's, the reveal, he says, you know, the reveal is his police partner or one of his partners.
Right.
At the police station. She's involved.
And then the mother.
Right. The mother and the daughter who were in the station wagon.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I have huge problems with everything you're talking about because it wasn't clearly demonstrated in the film. The film did not even try to make me follow a plot. And that has. Right.
And they say that.
And in my mind, that is divorced from the fact that Nick Cage sucks and couldn't act his way. Like, he has zero range. And this performance is precisely like every other Nick Cage performance we've ever seen.
I thought we would probably discuss this. And you know what? I'm going to say you can't fault Nicolas Cage for being Nicolas Cage in a movie that basically is written for Nicolas Cage. Because it is just all kinds of written for Nicolas Cage and casted for him. I mean, I don't think they could have gotten money to do this movie at this scale without him. So I think everything was
really
surrounded by
him. I can't imagine I can imagine people who would have done a worse. Zach Galifianakis couldn't have played this role, but just a regular solid actor. Like, imagine James Marsden in this thing.
Sure.
Like somebody who's just anybody, mediocre common actor, would have done such a better job.
Oh, I like James Marsden.
Poor James Marsden.
Yeah, I'm gonna give him a little more credit than that. I think he's a fine actor. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
He's a guy that left me completely flat when he was in X-Men, and I went, wow, that was the epitome of mediocre. But since then, he's impressed me. Like, I feel like James Marsden, out of all the X-Men people, if you don't count Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman, he's doing all right. Pretty good for Scott Summers.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Not bad. Good job,
yeah.
Cyclops. Anyway. Yeah. Directed by, who's this guy? Neil LaBute. Now, he is a, this is a storied dude. His screenplay, or his playwriting and his play directing work is renowned. People have huge respect for this man, for the work he's done with on stage. His movies are all balls of shit. They're all bad. And I don't understand why there's no good transition there. It's really strange to me that he's not a guy that could parlay that. I'm telling you,
this was a Nicolas Cage vehicle. They saw Nicolas Cage and said, what weird, funky thing can we put him in and drive it? And I think
Nicolas Cage foundation and build something
that
around
is
it.
Yeah. Absolutely what this is.
He's
it
the
is
cornerstone, Brian.
That because,
yeah. I say that, but can we agree that as your plan is not a good plan?
It is a horrible plan.
Okay.
It is a horrific
thank you.
You see what you got plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a horrible you've made a horrible error. In doing this. And it's also a part of his career where things, this is when things started to go weird. It was, I want to say right around the time Ghost Rider came out or something close to that.
No, Ghost Rider's a little later than that, wasn't it?
Well, it was
Ghost
like 08, 07, something like that. But it's kind of the same era, the Nicolas Cage era of like, oh shoot, I've lost all my money. I screwed up on those investments and now I need to make money and how do I do it? And he just phones it in,
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna disagree with that. I don't think he phones it in at all. I think
he just doesn't have range.
I think he's maximum Cage here. I really do.
I will give you some clips today that will challenge your assumption about maximum Cage.
Yes, his delivery at times. I'm like, why did they go with that take?
Yeah,
right. Why didn't they say no? Try and say it and don't emphasize bitches.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
His heyday really was like mid to late 90s with like Leaving Las Vegas, The Rock, Con Air, Face Off.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to argue that National Treasure was probably his last hurrah.
I'm going to change your argument slightly and say it was the tip of this particular spear that's when I went, oh, all right, well, thanks, Nicolas Cage. It was nice knowing you. Like, it felt like
we
have to part ways here because this is starting to get kind of bad. But he's fine, whatever. I don't really, I mean, I have so many fond memories of him. Like, I want to watch Raising Arizona right now. I want to watch Moonlighting right now. Moonstruck. Moonstruck. Thank you.
Come walk by night.
Anyway, I just, you know, now, I want to watch
Wild
Face Off.
Heart.
Sure. Yeah. Wild at Heart. There are some moments in his career that are really strong. Lord of War is amazing. Matchstick Men is really great. There's nothing wrong with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, Matchstick Men and Wicker Man.
Yes. Yeah. It was another weird.
And Weatherman.
What? How can it be? Hold on, my mouse stopped working. Why?
How can it be? Okay.
How can it be?
Speaking of bees, Kate Behan, or Behan, however you say, I'll tell you, that lady was doing Willow. She was doing some acting. I don't think it was supposed to be for this movie, but she was doing some freaking amazing acting.
She was doing
something on her own, though, man.
Hold on. Now, which one was she? Was she
Beach? That's Willow. That's Willow. That's his wife. Fiance.
Oh, she's terrible.
That's his fiance that he never met the family, did not know where she was from.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why did you got engaged? What are you talking? I don't know where she's from. You didn't know anything about whatever. Yeah. Don't know who her mom is.
It's funny because you look at her, like her known for list, and it's like, oh, Matrix Revolutions. But then you look at her character, Coat Check Girl.
Right, right. White Plan was probably her biggest before
White
this.
Plan,
She was, what was she?
She was another flight attendant, wasn't she?
I think she was.
All right, we're back. Sorry, that was the brief respite. Randy, continue your thoughts, please.
I was asking a question, which was, does anybody feel like the movie adequately explains why he stays on the island and continues to investigate by himself once he uncovers that horrific things are going on there?
Right. Well, the seaplane seaman is no longer available.
But I also think that he doesn't feel like he knows enough about it until it's too late to be able to say, okay, oh, something really is. Because I think even up to the point where he finds the flooded crypt and the empty grave and all that stuff, he still thinks that his daughter, I can't remember her name, Rowan, is hidden somewhere on the island. And she is hidden somewhere on the island. Yeah. And he thinks that if he goes to get help, it's probably going to be too late because the festival's going to be the next day or that, you know, whatever.
Right, but it's always this idea, this trope of, hey, here we are in a place that is on the map, but somehow not on the map. Like, no one knows about it. There's no local authority of any kind. The men all have their tongues cut out or whatever. Or their tongues out.
I have a lot of forgiveness for films that just blur reality. Like, he's a motorcycle cop who's now suddenly a detective. Okay. All right. That's okay. I'm okay with that. For some reason, with it. Mm. But a detective who goes it alone beyond all reason, just, I don't know. I needed a reason for him to keep going it alone, and it was never given one.
You didn't, even though it was like... It was his daughter, right? They escalated it, and to the point that it was his daughter. So now it was personal, and he couldn't leave because he knew that she was, or suspected that she was alive and that she was in danger. And by leaving, he would.
And they had this bit of hand waving, which was his cell phone wasn't working, right?
Mm-hmm. So he was cut off. That 1 second.
It's the one part of the island that Sprint put an antenna, but it's not a very good one.
It's not a good one. Well, actually, if it was Sprint, they wouldn't have connection out there at all. Ah, take that, Sprint. Take that.
Sick burn.
You know, hold on. I got a question about when he's a cop, when he's a motorcycle cop, giving tickets and picking up dolls on the road, was I watching the ultimate of the Chick in the Buckets? In that I still don't understand the car and the people in it and the girl and the connection. Like,
it was a carefully orchestrated plan that was a red herring that was totally stupid.
So it was
to feel bad for little girls so that he'll come to the island and find this one.
But it was also you get the feeling it was a supernatural plot. Like, that didn't actually happen for in the real world or something.
And they implied somewhat loosely, very weakly, that you know, there was some occult things going on here, and that maybe there was nobody actually in the station wagon.
Yeah.
Maybe he was already under the influence of some kind of drug, because if you go back, you really want to stretch. If you really want to pull out some shit and really stretch it, you can go, hey, the lady at the beginning of the movie, who's the waitress, you know, they're implying that she's feeding these people food that is making them slow and sluggish. And she calls over at Nicolas Cage and calls him honey. Is that a B reference?
Oh,
I don't know.
Maybe. Look at you,
so
dude.
Does she drug him and then do all this other crap? So, I mean, there's some things that you could really, I mean, you could stretch it like a mother and try to make it make sense, but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, I like where your head's at, and I actually kind of like that kind of thing. If you go back and watch it again, and you're like, oh, I'm never going to watch this again. Yeah, trust me.
Right.
But,
nope.
But but this idea that, you know, there's deeper things afoot is kind of interesting, but it's just felt like such a MacGuffin, and there was a whole another sequence of the movie that really actually kind of made me angry. And it was the scene where
this movie is supposed to make you angry, I think.
Well, maybe, but it was the scene.
Yeah, but not angry at the movie.
No.
Oh, I had a scene that also made me angry. I would love to hear yours and compare it to mine.
All right, here's mine. He goes diving under the thing and sees the girl
whose girl body.
Oh, yeah.
And then comes up and then thinks he's woken up from that horrible nightmare and then looks out and the camera zooms out real quick and it goes, bam, bam, and he's got the dead girl in his arms. And then the camera zooms out again and goes, bam, bam, and he's got nothing in his arms because it was like a triple dream sandwich. It was freaking stupid and it pissed me off.
Yes, yes. The dream within a dream thing is so stupid because that has never happened to any one of us ever in our lives. We've never woken up from a horrifying dream within a dream and then woken up from that dream.
Right. It doesn't
never,
work.
Ever.
It doesn't happened. Work that way. Even if you're on, you know, cafeteria drugs or whatever the hell you had. It.
Last night, I actually dreamt. This is a true story. I woke up this morning from a dream that we were Film Sack podcasting and we had decided to watch the movie Major League. And I was dreaming of what my
greeting.
For the Film Sack episode on Major League.
Yeah.
And as soon as I woke up, I instantly recognized that I was transitioning from a dream to reality and that I needed to prepare to record this show, actual reality.
Yeah.
There was no confusion. I mean, sometimes there, you know, like you wake up from a dream and you're like, oh, I didn't know it was a dream while I was having it.
Yeah.
Right.
But there's no lingering confusion.
Yeah, you don't wake up and go, oh, honey, and touch your wife's shoulder and say, wake up, I need to tell you about this dream. And she rolls over and it's Ernest Borgnine. And then you're in a new dream. It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't? Okay.
Got 50 bucks. Anyway.
Now, okay, so the subplot, there's two subplots going on in this movie other than the primary plot. And the subplots are destroying the character Nicolas Cage and making him unsure of himself, which is supposed to be his greatest strength.
Is that he's sure of himself?
Well, but he's supposed to have
trust
higher. He's supposed to represent our law, the law of the Christian nation of the United States and our beliefs. And he's supposed to represent that. He's supposed to represent it in a way that is very pure and whole. But since you've got all this subplot going on with the drugs and he doesn't know what's going on and he's confused, it weakens the character and it destroys this movie.
It's a common thing. I don't know about the Christian part, but it's a common theme to have a character who's thrown into something that's foreign to the culture he lives in or counter to the civilized nature of his culture. And then he has to figure that out. It's just not very well handled here. Like it just felt, I never felt like that place was much of a threat. It was mostly just old ladies laughing. Like it just was kind of dumb and
popping out of nowhere with masks that look like Elf for no reason.
And you know when I say Christian nation, I mean most of our laws are based on Christian.
I understand
the Ten Commandments and that.
Yeah, you don't have to explain it. We've seen a lot of horror movies in the United States.
Sure. No, right. I know what you're saying, but my bottom line is he doesn't. It's a fine thing to rely on. Like it works in lots of movies. I'm trying to think of one to name here and I can't. But you know, getting pulled, it's fish out of water, really. Mm-hmm. And it's discordant because these people are acting weird. The teacher's talking to the kids about phalluses or something, and that seems wrong. And they also look like they're living in Mayberry or something. And
yeah, what was the village? Had kind of a village.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the
The Village. Shyamalan director. Shyamalan film.
Shyamalan, yes, right. Had that kind of vibe to it. Had even a little bit of a an Angel Heart kind of vibe to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
Where the one thing you're searching for turns out to be yourself, kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's a couple threads that I feel like it's pulled from other movies.
Yeah.
Right. It's actually a lot of it's pulled from the original 1973 film, which is a really good art film, and it's a really smart film, and it's got musical numbers.
Is that the Christopher Lee thing?
Right. Yeah.
It's got some,
so tell us more about, so wait. So it's got musical numbers. Like
it's almost at a place. It's a little bit late.
How to get burned.
Why are all these bees on my face?
The original is a lot purer. If you go back and watch it, it's a kind of a simple story. It's weird, but it's a very simple story. And it's a lot more impactful. As a matter of fact, if you go to Rotten Tomatoes and you look at any of the rating sites and look, you'll see that the 73 version's got like 90%, and then this one's got like 16%.
Is there a scene in the old one where he is in a bear suit and punches a lady? Does that happen?
You know, I wish there was. There is a dress-up scene, but I love the fact they went with the bear in this one. I'll tell you, the last 20 minutes of The Wicker Man, the 2006 version, it turns into a totally different movie, and it's a lot of fun.
It's delightful.
But that's the problem, isn't it? Like, if the first two acts are so bad, and that the third act only has to be mediocre to seem good,
yeah,
right? You know,
that's a problem for sure.
The first two acts.
That's definitely a problem, and I think in the, mm-hmm. I mean, the last bit is memorable for lots of reasons, but mostly it's just because it just goes off the rails, and I'm grateful that it did that because mm-hmm. otherwise this would have been the most boring thing ever. It was tried to be all Hitchcocky in the whole first two thirds. That never worked. For me, there was never any of that tension or that kind of Hitchcock style of filmmaking there. It was all just kind of, you know,
right.
Poo.
Yeah. I mean, it's at least, you know, with Hitchcock, there's a method to the madness, right? There's a reason that the thing comes off the wall and almost kills him, as opposed to this movie where it's the tree, the branches falling off the truck and he saves the guy's life who can't talk. Right. There's no reason for any of that. It's like, oh, let's draw attention to this sort of thing. That's really just there. Mm-hmm. To show, that these guys don't talk.
Right.
He has almost killed so many times. I'm like, this is the worst plan.
But none of them are good foreshadowing almost kills. Right. Like, imagine if every time he was injured, it was leading you to think like, wow, he's really having a hard time with fire out here. Boy, fire keeps, you know, fire just keeps kind of getting after him.
Yeah. It's bees. Bees.
They establish that, right? Yeah, they definitely establish that, but they don't do it in a way that's foreshadowing. You're just like, whoa, what a loser.
It's in your face.
By the way, if you're in a place that's famous for two things, one, being creepy and run by all these Wicker ladies, or Wiccan ladies is what I meant to say. And the other thing is, it's surrounded by bees and beekeepers, and you are horribly allergic to bees. So anytime he's out walking around outside acting like everything's fine, I'm like, you're an idiot, dude. Get back on your bike in your suit, ride back like an idiot back to the thing, find the plane dude, and go home. Like, you shouldn't be there. You're going to die. How many EpiPens do you have?
It was hilarious because when he first accidentally stumbled into... Oh, by the way, Nicolas Cage looks like a full-on goober riding a bicycle. So anyway, he's on that bike a lot in this movie.
Yeah.
So he rides into like the bee farm, which is clearly marked by honeycomb-shaped grass cuts, and he runs into that first, you know, that first beehive, and instead of running back the way he came, which was safe, he runs directly straight through the middle of it, stumbling and knocking over beehives. And I'm like, really,
A bowling pin game where it's how many beehives can I stumble into and twist and turn and run into this one and just lay down and just
all right, and, right, if you just stopped running altogether.
Yeah.
And you guys, you got to be asking what's the old ways, because they didn't cure him with EpiPen the first time. So
they never explained that. Sure.
Another
in the bucket.
Yeah.
Right. They put a leech on his hoo-ha. I mean, what did they do? How do you
cure in a bucket?
What's the old ways?
Yeah, right? Who knows? I don't know, but that's a really good point.
Hand waving.
Didn't that happen a couple of times? There was that time, and then there was another time.
No, let's try it your way, and she uses the EpiPen on them. They put the mask of bees on his head.
To knock him out,
but then they used the EpiPen to, like, revive him. For what reason?
There was no reason.
I tried to listen to the evil queen bee and her reasoning, because, you know, he had to be there on his own to choose to be there. But I didn't understand why they had to. By the way, can we talk about the hobbling? I don't understand why they had to hobble him.
So that he couldn't climb out of the Nicolas Cage.
Right. He couldn't climb out of us. Right. And they did that.
I'm going to use that joke again.
Right. Dude, why? Oh, man. I was so suffering when they were pulling him up into the cage thing, and I knew his legs were broke, and they pulled him up upside down. How would that even work?
Yeah.
That's why they did it. But also, the movie suddenly realizes in the last 3 minutes that it's got to do everything it's failed to do all the way along.
Right.
So it's got this ridiculous Bond villain moment to start all of that, where they're explaining all this stuff where you're like, couldn't you have explained this in clues throughout the rest of the film? Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this now? Because I don't care at this point. Like, they've got him.
Yeah.
I don't care why they've done it. Yeah. In fact, if they hadn't explained themselves, it might have been a better movie for me.
Yeah.
And just be like, yeah, we're killing you. What?
Why is this happening?
Why? Oh, too bad. Roll the credits.
This is why I will argue that Nicolas Cage did.
Don't say he did a good job. Don't say those words.
I will say he was effective, because in the old one as well as the new one, that when the Wicker Man is revealed, we as an audience see the Wicker Man and we kind of go, eh. But because of the screaming and the acting of the primary actors, you actually feel uncomfortable. You actually feel worried about the Wicker Man, because the visual is not enough. The screaming and the terrified, oh God, that really kind of sets that scene where you actually feel something. At least I did.
Yeah.
But it's so too late at that point.
It's done. Ranger's like, I'm out. No, it's too late. Too little. Too late.
I was dealing with a character. You're dealing with a character who is in a completely no-win situation, you realize at the end, right? It is him against everybody else who have decided to off him. And there's nothing compelling about that kind of storytelling. You want there to be, oh my God, Willow's having second thoughts, or his friend Pete arrives just in time to almost save him, but doesn't. There's none of that. It is you are destined down this path. It was going to happen from the moment that you rescued or tried to rescue the family from the highway. But there was really no way out, and your death was pretty much predetermined from the get-go. And that's boring storytelling.
You say it's boring storytelling, but it's the one thing that I think, it's the one reason why this movie hangs around, whether it be the one from 73 or the one currently from 2006, is because it literally, our mind can't process it. We get so angry because it's like, we can't imagine a world where our ideals are flipped upside down and we are the single individual and we're totally powerless, because they take someone who's in power, a cop, and they put him in a totally powerless situation. And no matter what he says, no matter how much screaming and yelling he does, it doesn't matter. And at the end, that's the reason why you go, what the crap? I can't resolve that in my head.
Yeah. Tina watched this one with me, regrettably. And at the very end, the whole thing happens and the thing catches on fire and it ends, and then the credits roll up. She goes, what the hell?
So I got a question about that. It's like, okay, first I'm going to disagree with Dunaway for a second.
All right, do it.
I think that there are plenty of movies where the protagonist or people you like are killed off at the end in very sudden ways and roll the credits that work way better than this. Mm-hmm. This was just all right, I guess that's it. But to do that and then go, this is dedicated to Joey Ramone. What was that, dude?
Yeah, but like that, you stop and realize, okay, so Nick Cage was friends with Johnny Ramone. All right. And Nick Cage, I guess, got a producer credit on this film. Is that right?
Probably.
Like, you have to come up with all this reasoning. And I don't like it when some words on a screen make you think about something that has nothing to do with the plot.
Right. Right. Yeah. Usually you would say, oh, he, you know, like, this is dedicated to a key grip or a guy who was a second unit director or something. Oh, right. That sort of stuff can happen, but just to have this complete non sequitur of one of the Ramon brothers being up there, it's like, okay, I like him too. The Ramones were great.
Did he die? What happened? I
mean, why is it connected to this film at all? If Joey Ramone had done, or what was it, Joey or Johnny?
Johnny Ramone.
If Johnny Ramone had done a song, or there'd been some sort of connection in some other way, well, then I would have understood it. But that made no sense to me. It's like Star Wars ending and saying, "This goes out to the memory of
Harry Houdini,
who you know got all." Wrapped up and broke out and stuff.
Got punched in the gut and died in trick. It was awesome.
It's real. That was just really weird. Yeah. Really weird.
Yeah. 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 And it reminds me of, can I run a quick Vancouver connection here?
Yeah.
Sure. So seven years ago on BC, not BC Day, on Canada Day, I think 7 years ago on Canada Day, went to the island where this was filmed. It's called Bowen Island. And it's out in the middle of the Georgia Strait between Vancouver and Vancouver Island.
Oh.
And
I would have said this was Washington, so I'm impressed.
Well, they said in the movie it was Washington, and that's you know, like one of those things like Vancouver. Give me a Trump alert. Vancouver's everywhere.
Yeah, it really is, but Vancouver did a good job of looking like the Pacific Northwest to me. I was kind of impressed with that.
Because they're connected.
Well, no, I know they are, but what I mean by that is I never once went, well, I'm sure this wasn't filmed there, but nice work. Like, I just assumed it was Washington. It looked like it to me. Yeah.
I see what you're saying. And I found it bizarre that they had to actually say, we're in Washington State, not California. It would have been even more impressive if they had said, this is Canada. Yeah. You have no jurisdiction here.
Oh, right. Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. Then I would have bought it. They acted like they were outside the law. I'm sure no satellite imagery was picked up of a giant wicker thing being built somewhere suspiciously.
So, but every now and then they filmed a scene out way out east of Vancouver on the mainland, and it looked nothing like Bowen Island. And it was really strange to me how this place, this Summer Isle, was it called? Yeah. This place had such varying landscapes.
Yeah.
That's my complaint.
I don't know what the deal is with Vancouver, but well done up there, guys. You've mm-hmm. created a better Hollywood than Hollywood did
mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways. And I know the tax breaks are good and all that's cheaper, but also everything looks good. You can make your Battlestar Galactica there, and you can turn right around and make Wicker Man there.
Fringe and X-Files and mm-hmm.
everything.
Did you guys have a favorite sister?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sister Beach. Yeah. Sister Beach all the way.
Sister Beach, for some reason, some of her acting felt stiff sometimes, but she always...
Wait a minute.
Was it such a pressure?
Her stuff, Sister Beach stuff sounded stiff all the time. It was the other woman he punched.
She was the barkeep. She was the,
Barkeep.
Yeah. And
it's made.
Drink. Oh, you kill my bee. But for some reason, she made me feels. I had feel every time.
I had no feels for her. I was annoyed and I wanted to punch her as well. So I agreed with his choice in punching her.
See, that's the funny thing about this movie. We talk about, I mean, everybody has said it separately. This movie makes you angry.
And right, not no for the right reason
you feel, though. You feel jerked around. And you kind of relate because you feel jerked around because this movie jerked you around like Nicolas Cage got jerked around the movie. And when he punches, when he starts throwing punches at about 20 minutes further in the movie, I feel kind of satisfied. I'm like,
Oh, and I finally put my finger on it. Yeah. Nicolas Cage is not done in by his hubris. He's not done in by his vanity. He's not done in by his ignorance. This kind of underlines what I was saying before, but he's done in for no other reason than he was just picked to be done in.
Yeah. He was, it was out of his control. I wish they wouldn't have taken not 3 hours, but an hour and a half to show me that. So there's a couple of pieces of trivia that I think are interesting. So the original film was written by Robin Hardy, who also directed it. And Christopher Lee, who was in the original film, he played Summer's Isle or whatever. It wasn't a woman. It was a dude.
Mm-hmm.
So they made a very definite switch here in the leadership of the cult there. But anyway, they both criticized the remake, and Hardy went as far as to have his name removed from the film's credits because he did not want to be associated with it at all. And then they switched it out for Ramon. That's funny.
Right. It's like, we need a title card here. What you want to put on it?
Nicolas Cage objected to the criticism of the film, he says, because it was intentionally funny. He says he and Neil LaBute knowingly made the picture as an absurdist black comedy that should have been seen and judged as such. Bull to the shit. I meant to do it like that. Yeah, it's a total bull crap.
Hey, I was laughing.
I meant to sound like Jimmy Stewart.
I was laughing out loud when he was telling the old sisters, the twin sisters, to back off, back off.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But there was no
favorite sisters.
There was no way. Oh yeah, the blind sisters. They were great.
The blind simultaneously talking twins. Yeah,
that's a good band name. You could name a band the blind simultaneously talking sisters. Oh, that's a brilliant idea.
I realize we're just calling that the overt farce that it is, but if they had actually set out for this movie to have comic relief, they could have given it some comic relief.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
No,
there
were
plenty of times.
Yeah.
You know, like, but how many times was he in really deep shit and they could have done something funny to break the tension?
Yeah, I don't believe them when they say this. I just want to put it on the record that when they say it was intentionally funny, that the stuff we all see as hammy and bad was meant to be that way, I don't actually believe him when he says that.
I don't know. Nicolas Cage is just crazy enough to do it.
I don't.
No, okay. Not in this case.
If that's the case, then it's even a worsely made film because it's not, none of that stuff feels genuine at all.
Like, there's even movies where I think Nicolas Cage does inject something that probably wasn't in the script that is kind of funny. I mean, there was stuff like that in Con Air, all over Con Air. I wouldn't say it's improv, but it's a delivery. Well, how about if I deliver it like this and take your hands off the bunny? You know, probably was a or put the bunny in the box.
Yeah, that seems like
how did Willow get
Cage
those
choice.
Bullets? That made me mad.
Which the who the what?
Right, oh, right. The magic those bullets missing
the bullets
from
the gun.
She's been, how long is she? The last time that she had access to that gun was like about 3 hours before then, and so she's like carrying those bullets around. They're all hot and sweaty and in her hand, mm-hmm. and she just pours them out.
Yeah, that was weird.
I was waiting for you to shoot that.
Looking
so
for these.
So
and then you hold them up on the palm and just let some of them fall off onto the
deck. God, I'm so mad.
Were we meant to believe that the cop lady that came to visit him while he was getting over his exploding car experience or whatever?
Getting over his accommodation?
Was she made of bees? Was that I know the dream
we
showed
don't
her.
Know. That's the thing. She could have been supernatural. Anything.
No, they show her at the end.
Encounters.
She's one of the people that takes off the mask and it's her and then the mom from the car, right?
Oh.
See,
right, exactly. And see, and that's her, and that's kind of a reveal that subconsciously that Nicolas Cage's character is starting to suspect that he's being jerked around even in the real world. This has been going on for a while. So he's got this
Freaking colleague at work who he has worked with for who knows how long. Cause she knows him enough to come over and go, how you doing, man? We miss you in the force or whatever. You're telling me the entire time she was a freaking bee lady the entire
time.
Right. So the trope here is called, everyone was in on it.
Yeah.
Like everyone, your third grade teacher. Oh my, what's she doing here?
Yeah. Woman in the diner.
They were all on it.
Yeah.
That's lame.
Now there was the version that we saw on Netflix is the unrated cut and the hobbling and the bee mask, putting the thing of bees over his face were part of the unrated cut, not in the actual film release.
Really?
But, after the Wicker Man burns and Nicolas Cage dies, there's a follow-up scene in the original version where Willow and Honey go into a bar, probably going back into that diner, and they start talking with James Franco and Jason Ritter, a couple off-duty police officers who they seduce and invite to go back home with them to kind of let you see that this is kind of a cycle that they go through.
James Franco?
James Franco, yes. That's the thing. I was looking at the... Because I think they still have him in the credits, right? And you see, Aaron Eckhart. Wait, James Franco was in this? Jason Ritter was in this?
Yeah.
And so in the Wikipedia page explains that that's a version of the movie an ending scene that was in the original, but not in the unrated cut. And I would have liked to have seen that ending
I would too.
To wash your mouth clean? No. We need that.
I don't know.
Horrible
ending.
Yeah. That's what we need to make us angry.
Maybe. I mean, maybe
I want
that's
Kristen Ritter to come into this movie and start punching people.
Yeah.
I tell you, man, when he kicked Lily Sobieski in the face, that was some kind of magic.
Oh, that was, yeah. He was totally into the kickboxing, right? Like there were three or four women he took out in the top down view before he gets put into the basket.
But don't you hate it when a movie gives you satisfaction only through torturing you as a viewer?
an hour and a half
of, God, I hate this. Finally, something. I will enjoy the punching of women because of what this movie's done to me.
Can someone explain to me what Aaron Eckhart's doing in this? Like, in 2006, it's not like he was just sitting around. He had things going on. Like, let me see here. Thank You for Smoking was 05. That's an incredible film.
On an adjoining lot, and
they
needed. They were like, oh well, we need one guy for the diner. You mind coming over and doing this? Oh, we lost one of our sister women. Hey, Molly Parker, do you mind playing a twin that's revealed for absolutely no reason whatsoever?
I feel like what happens is you owe Nicolas Cage a favor. And I think he calls it a bomb. Right. I mean,
it's kind of like he's like Aaron Eckhart was also.
The time I helped you change a tire on your car.
Aaron Eckhart was also a really good friend of Johnny Ramone, and you know how these things go.
Yeah. Everybody who knows Johnny Ramone's getting in this movie. That explains why all these women showed up.
If you do the scene for me, then when I do another shitty movie, I'll put you in the end credits too for Aaron Eckhart. It'll say.
Oh man, your bad Nicholas impression is really great. It's really good. I love it. Make it bad. It should stay bad and never be good.
Yeah, never make it good.
Also, we were talking, Dunaway, you were talking about the dialogue earlier, and it reminded me of a piece of trivia that says that the movie is primarily at like 80% or more word for word from the original. Did you see the original? You've seen it, right?
Yes.
So yeah, was the dialogue super reminiscent and everything? Did it sound like it was 80%? Or more the same?
Well, there's some, the characters represent some of the same dialogue.
Because I mean is, like, if the writing's bad, well, then maybe it was always bad.
No. The writing is, I don't know, how can I explain it? So it's like a bad copy. So, you know, you got a really good, you've done a really good thing here, and you put it on the copier, and you forget to make adjustments on the copier. That's what this is.
Okay.
It's output. Okay. If you forgot to make the
digital versus analog.
I like that.
Right. So you can pick it up and look at it and go, yeah, that's what I meant to scan, but damn, that's grainy and black and white, and everything else is bad.
And I still don't feel like I understand how they worked music into, like, songs into the first
one. It is.
Is it Druid? Like Druid, you're seeing rituals or things that they've done, or is it?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's very natural. They start like one of the first musical scenes is when they're in a bar, or that bar scene where the cop first shows up, and he meets everybody, and it starts off as kind of a bar song, and they kind of like fall into this musical number, and then after that, it kind of rolls into the next musical number, and then they kind of stop for a little bit. And then later on, there's some kids doing some musical things, and then it slowly turns into another musical number. It's very organic in the way they did it.
So really good. Now I kind of want to see the original.
And there were a bunch of naked. There were naked people in the first one, right?
All
the druids were naked.
Yeah,
a lot of nudity.
A lot of naked druids walking around. Which again, in '73 or whatever, would have seen a little less. I mean, we were up to that. We were good.
And you said it's on the Stars. Stars. Is there an app like a Stars app?
Yeah, this is what I did. I subscribed to the Stars app because I downloaded it on my Android phone, and you get 7-day trial, and you can watch it from there. And you actually, once you sign up, you can watch it on the computer or through your, you know, whatever device that has the Stars app.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you get all the Stars TV stuff that's on now, like the new Evil Dead stuff and all that. That's all on there. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yep.
Stars actually got some stuff right now. They got some shows.
They do.
Well, they're getting Force Awakens too, aren't they? Isn't that the deal that they had?
Yeah, they've got a Disney agreement somewhere because they have a whole bunch of Disney movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting.
I would have guessed that Netflix would get Force Awakens.
Yeah, because they have a deal with Disney as well
for all the animated stuff.
Maybe that's what it was. But they get a lot of the Marvel stuff early too. That's interesting. I mean, Stars pulled out of Netflix famously. So that'll be interesting to see them get a big get like that. I don't know.
Right.
It won't change anything. Like I've been subscribed to Hulu for years and years, and they added Showtime at some point for a premium. Yeah. I will never pay a couple bucks extra for Showtime. It just, it's not going to.
I would do a couple bucks, but they gave, but it's more like 10. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of high.
I don't want to pay.
I'm just
more.
Saying, like, what could they get? They can come along and say, you know, we got every episode of Hill Street Blues. I don't care. Like,
Penny Dreadful was about the only thing for me. And then that Donovan show was on there.
Oh, Ray Donovan?
There's a couple of shows.
All on Amazon now, anyway.
Exactly.
For
is
free.
It really worth keeping a monthly subscription? Probably not.
Probably not. I mean, the HBO Now thing is a must-have for me, even though Amazon gets a bunch of their older stuff. But I can't, like, I'm in a place right now where they have shows I have to consume the minute they're available. Like, this Westworld business is just, like, someone, it's like someone handcrafted it and handed it to me on my birthday. I freaking love it. And because of that, I have to pay their $15 ransom every month.
Right.
$15 ransom? That's, but that's... But do you see how that's different? Like, if every episode of Westworld is an hour long, you know, like over a 12-episode season, you're getting like the equivalent of, let's say, 6 movies.
Yeah.
You know,
if that's all like, if that's all I watched, it would still be justifiable that way.
Yeah, but whereas one movie, Force Awakens, you know, like how is that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just not worth $10 a month.
Oh, no, by
you
the way,
can buy it after 2 months. You can just buy your own Blu-ray copy and get watch it whenever you want.
Yeah, I got one right
Speaking of streaming, speaking of new streaming stuff and services, Vudu, which I use a lot because it has really high quality HDX stuff. They just started this past week, Vudu Movies on Us, which is a bunch of movies that are perfect for FilmSack, but they're also sponsored by ads. I'm not sure how interruptive the ads are yet, because I was looking last night. I want to go and watch a complete one. If the ads aren't too bad, there's a lot of really good things on there that I've been kind of waiting for to show up on Netflix. To have it shown up.
And if they're it's free. Freely available to anybody, that might be something we could add to the roster. I'm curious about the commercials. You have to tell us how that goes.
Yeah.
If it's like every 10 minutes
beginning or something, I'm cool with that. But if it's like every 15 minutes, I'm like, I'm
if
out.
It's like TV when you're a kid and they'd have a movie of the week or whatever. Oh,
right.
Forget it. Like,
oh
man, about it.
They would take an 80-minute movie and drag that thing out to 2 hours.
Yeah,
and it was.
Or they would edit it. They would edit it so that it was the same equal time, but they would take stuff out to fit commercials in.
Yeah, man, do you remember the ones that would? Do you remember like the Saturday afternoon things, like on CBS, where they would have like in the middle of it would be like a marathon commercial for like 20 or 30 minutes?
Yeah, f that.
Yeah,
F it. That's a pain in the ass. Nobody wants that in their lives. All right, I think we got some clips lined up. If you guys want to hear some,
I want to hear some clips.
Yes,
I got some clips from this movie. Here's talking to the old guy is how I've titled this. Wait, why aren't you playing? That seems
bum,
bad.
Bum, bum.
This may be that problem.
Who burned the doll?
How's it go?
Try this again.
How'd it get burned?
Okay, here he goes.
All right, I'm just kidding. Okay, look, how about you take all of us there?
What do you mean, all?
Well, me, Mr. Grant here, and his twin brother, Ulysses.
Money talks. It's a little joke there about
$200 bills.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Mr. Grant and his twin brother, Ulysses. How about the Ulysses twins?
Yeah. Couldn't he just say $200?
I was looking around and convinced he was in Canada already, so I was just like, what if this guy doesn't know what you're talking about? Who's Mr. Grant in Canada?
Yeah. As soon as he arrives, he already starts to have trouble with the nature of the people on the island. Here's a clip of that.
I don't recognize this child. Do you, Violet?
No, can't say I do.
Just a tip there. It often helps to actually glance at the photo.
Yeah, he's all red. They're already under his skin, man.
I love the fact this is just the tip.
Yeah, just the tip.
Just the tip.
Just the tip. He could have stopped there. It would have been a rated R movie already. Here's Evil Lady laughing. It's terrible.
It really is bad. What was in the burlap bag that was bleeding?
They never show, but I think it's like a goat or something dumb like that. Or a giant bee. Maybe it was a big bee.
A giant bee. It's some wicker.
It's some wicker. We're making a man out of the wicker. I thought goat because later there were all those goats on the different levels of the wicker man. And I kept thinking to myself, now wait a minute. How much are you trying to appease your nature god? If one man isn't enough, you need to have like 8 goats on the up.
One man that you have been setting up to do this with for years, decades maybe. Yep. Mm-hmm. Like you've been destined to burn this one guy. Like, and we need a little extra cabrito over here. And even though we're missing bees, we're going to sacrifice some more bees on his face.
Yeah.
And like, geez, your planet, this is a shaky plan.
They're trying to stack the deck. They're just like, you know, I've been like the logistics of it before it happened. They're like, all right, I think we're ready to put that man up there. You know, guys, maybe it wouldn't hurt if we had a few goats in there just in case. I mean, we've been working at this for years. Like
And it's another case where if you use CGI bees and I can tell they're fake, it's not as scary as if it would have been if you'd poured bees in and I couldn't see his face.
Yeah.
So I couldn't see the bees in there.
Yeah.
That would have been more terrifying to me if it had been like a, I don't know, like a brass diver's helmet or something and I couldn't tell what was going on in there.
Yeah.
But instead the fake bees, I'm like, oh, fake bees.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of the same bees like a Photoshop brush. Just rotate and... Yeah.
Did you guys want to guess what I thought was the grossest thing?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think? We need a theme for that. I don't have a theme for it.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of gross things in here. There's, you know, there's pilots on the side of the on the beach with sewn up mouth and stuff. And
Here's my theme. There you go. That's the theme for grossest thing.
Right. The grossest thing. Yeah. But you know, the thing that I'm hoping maybe bothered you. It bothered me.
Okay.
And that was the fact that he jumped into the lake in his short pants and his shirt on, and then he got out and he put his suit back on, and I was just like,
nailed
that
it.
Has to be the most uncomfortable.
Nailed it.
Really? Nailed it. That was exactly the thing that bothered me the most was that you would never do that.
Underwear. Yeah.
Gosh, you just be all rashy, and there's no way that water's clean, and you're wearing. Why put the suit coat back on? Ugh. Like everything he did in the suit pissed me off in this movie, but that grossed me out. So nailed it. You got it first try. Yeah.
That's funny. It bothered me too.
Well, so much for mine. I'm like scratching through mine.
What was it?
I was trying to think like Scott. Right, mm-hmm. Which always means you have to think of a second degree of gross. Like you can't just say, you can't just look at something and go, "Oh, that's overtly gross." No, no, no. Scott imagines what the thing was doing before we got there, before we arrived on the scene. And so, for some reason, I decided it was the crow inside the desk filling it with crow poop. Like just absolutely chock full of crow poop in that desk.
Oh my god,
that's good. That's really great. Oh, you know what? Funny thing is, I hadn't thought of it. Now that you say it, though, oh man,
that's
nasty. That is so gross. Bird poo. I mean, there's nothing clean about birds anyway. So yeah, bird poo in the desk is bad. Yeah, but did you have a gross moment?
I didn't. I could not think of one because I always look to things that they have to put in their mouths or eat or kiss or something like that.
Yeah.
And basically, he drinks mead and he kisses Willow, and that's about the only. Mouth horror that you experience.
Yeah. The
mead was dirty looking too. They had that glass bottom cup and it was just gross.
Yeah, that looked like dishwater. Also, when you smash this is a thing that's always bugged me since I was a kid and it's still true today. If I smash a bee or a spider or any kind of offending bug, do you hear that?
Yikes.
Yeah. That happens.
Okay. I'm still alive.
All right. Okay, good. You touched your wire. It's fine.
I touched an outlet. It's okay.
It's fine. So whenever I kill like a bee like that, and I've done this before, in fact, recently with a spider in the kitchen, I did this. There's a moment of I've done it. I think it's dead, but I am terrified to lift it up and see.
You know,
I hate that feeling of like, if I lift it up and it's not dead, it's going straight for my throat or that spider's going to go right down my pants or whatever. And that happened to me. That happened to me briefly when he killed the fly with the mead cup, and I thought, don't lift that up.
I've spent the last 45 minutes, unbeknownst to you guys, but there was a big old wolf spider that just was like slowly strolling on the floor over here, and I had my broom nearby, so I squashed him, and he balled up, which is what they do naturally, and so I've been kind of watching him, and he lost one leg during this battle, and then about 15 minutes later. He just kind of unfurled. I'm like, and so I'm banging him again, and he's been curled up pretty good so far for like the last 20 minutes. But I'm on alert.
Like you have one eye on your show on your notes, the other eye on the spider. Yeah, I totally believe it. You're gonna look over, and he's gonna be gone, and then you're gonna wake up from a dream, and the spider's in your lap.
Yeah, and then you wake up again,
I rotated my seat so that I can keep a look on him and my notes at the same time.
He's dead, dude.
No,
he's not.
He's not dead. He's all a southern spider. They don't die. They don't die easily. Here's some city talk for you.
Name's Malus. Edward Malus. I'd just like a room and a meal. Can you swing it?
Swing what? Is that some kind of city talk?
Yes, actually.
Exactly what that
Who
is.
Who says that you know, anyway? Could you swing it?
Could you swing
Looking
it?
For swing room it? And food and can you know, swing
this is,
it?
This is a hotel.
Can we have
so
sex later?
Can you swing
Why
it?
Would Summer Isle have a hotel anyway? What's a hotel doing there?
It's a bar hotel, well, right?
Okay, I understand having a pub. Class. Any right. village needs a pub. But what? Why are there rooms for
so
rent?
So when sister... brother comes over from the other island. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Sister's but I do. Brother. I do hope that. I don't know if you caught it next, but have you guys ever seen anybody slap their wallet on a counter to get everybody's attention in a room? Does that happen?
Nope. I've seen it in movies, but never in real life.
Right.
Not mm-hmm. once. Never seen anybody slap a wallet down to gain attention that I'm aware right. of. Right. It's like, yeah. Look at my wallet. Now you'll listen to me. here's a something about not being fine.
This is Washington.
I'm aware of that.
Then fine.
No, Mrs. Beach, it is not fine. It is anything but fine when a person is lost.
Okay, all right. That is just a taste of the bad acting to come. Now, before we get to some more bad acting, I got a clip from Ibbot's girlfriend.
Oh, good.
This is.
I was hoping with a movie full of women, we'd finally get a prom date that was a woman.
It was something about a ring, and I don't know. Here it is.
You know, traditionally, the guy gets his ring back when the fiance runs away.
Yeah, so it was a bad night for you. I didn't know you got full on engaged. Yeah. But jeez,
that took a sad turn.
It really kind of did. Yeah.
Age 17, already getting an engagement ring back. Wow.
Well, you know, he was ready to roll. All right, what in the hell, as Nicolas Cage says?
What in the hell happened to you?
All right, you can tell he's really into it. Well, then he does it again.
Now, why in the hell would you let them do a sick thing like that?
I think there were others, too, where it's just this, why in the hell?
What in the hell happened to you?
Oh, they're great. I love those moments.
This is, again, Nick Cage is so bad.
He's really bad. And there's worse coming. This is just a taste. All right, Sister Beach is the worst, is what I wrote here.
Enjoy the night. Only make sure you're ready for the day of tomorrow. The time of death and rebirth.
Make sure you're ready for the day of tomorrow.
The day of tomorrow.
That's the shittiest tomorrow? Thing to say for any context ever. Just say, make sure you're ready for tomorrow.
There are other spots where they seem to argue about what is today and what is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just this is not
Tobieski.
Yeah, this is not, I'm sorry, this is not scary. This is not, you know, creepy. Mm-hmm. It's just mm-hmm. dumb. Yeah. Why are you mm-hmm. doing this movie?
What was scary was standing there while he was talking to Lily Sobieski, and she had that axe on her shoulder, and I was just waiting for her just to take a swing at him. It was
that was a little disturbing. Intense. You know what? She looks a lot like the I can't remember her name now, but the girl
Helen
in Westworld.
Helen Hunt.
Oh, absolutely. She looks like Helen Hunt as well. Helen Hunt. But she's got a little bit of the face of the Westworld girl.
Evan Rachel Wood totally does. Yeah.
A little bit. So
she disappeared.
All I could think of is I want to watch that. Like she would come on the screen and I'm like, I'd like to be watching Westworld, which is what my wife did. She caught up while I was down here because I was ahead of her, and I felt jealous of my wife. She was watching a better thing.
Are you watching, honey? Can I watch some of that?
Here's a fertility deal.
Festival of fertility too, of course, but that's too sacred. No pictures can be taken of that.
Of course not, because there's like wieners out and stuff, right?
The wieners.
Those men in the village who have no tongue, they have to come show their wieners. Yeah.
I wish you would have said we used to have more nudity in 1973, but now we don't.
Now we don't. It's too sacred. All right, here's welcome to the class.
Phallic symbol.
School's really changed since I was a kid.
Yeah, it's phallic symbol. I still don't know what they were talking about. What was that all about?
They're little druids. They're little druids, and we're supposed to be creeped out that they're learning something pagan.
Mm. Right. If you go back and watch the first one, some of it kind of makes more sense because it's like, oh, okay, because it's May 1st and they're celebrating May Day, and they're saying that part of the Maypole is supposed to be phallic and it's supposed to have, you know, all this history, and it's supposed to. Oh, okay, but no excuse here. Just suddenly. Right into the phallic symbol, and then Nicolas Cage straight to the blackboard and erases her stuff. And I'm like,
I hated him during that entire sequence.
Yeah, I hated him too. There.
I hated him. Yeah. Like, what
I hated
is
them
wrong
too.
With you?
For the record, I hated them all in that sequence, but I really hated him most. I think
I got over it. But if his character in that schoolroom scene had been like that the whole movie, I would have been glad to see him killed at the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a motorcycle highway patrolman from California. This is what they should have called the show.
The penis is evil.
That should have been the name of this movie. They missed out. All right, here's a raven. All right, there's that.
No, that's a woman in a sound booth recording a raven sound.
Totally.
Wait, that's Sister Summer Isle.
I don't know. That sounds a lot like a crow.
Or crow, raven, three-eyed crow. I don't know what it is. Anyway, I like it. I'm going to start using it to bleep things out.
Yeah. Oh, good. That's a great bleep noise.
That is great.
You mother. That didn't work right. Anyway, here's some full of shite dialogue I wrote. So here you go.
Edward, I think they're going to hurt her. Or even...
Why would they? I'm trying to understand. I am. But why?
Ugh.
Ugh.
That's just bad.
Right.
It's bad delivery.
Here's how you could have done this movie in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, I think they've got her trapped at the top of this giant wicker statue. And then they've got like a little speaker, a Bluetooth speaker up there that's going, Daddy, help me.
And then he climbs up there
and they set it on fire. Movie's done in 10 minutes.
Then she comes running out the bottom and lights them up. By the way, do you have wicker furniture? It does burn that quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, we burned some wicker furniture that we were trying to actually burn in a bonfire. And that thing went up like
poof.
Oh, it's amazing. So, yeah, if you're going to burn something, get a wicker man. Here's some nice bad acting here.
You live here. You must know something. You mentioned the ceremony. Define it.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
The ceremony is a festival that...
Define it.
All right, how'd you get burned?
How'd it get burned?
I don't know.
Let her answer, dude.
Well, yeah, because... So he's supposed to be going crazy, like he's this is turning him into a maniac. Yeah. But oh, what? Oh, sorry. Skype just freaked me out. That was really loud.
Oh, I sent a picture of my spider. Go ahead.
All right, thank you.
You totally did.
He's supposed to be a maniac, but instead of a maniac, we're just getting angry Nick Cage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's not a developing character here.
Oh my gosh, right? Brian, that spider's huge.
That's what I said.
Ugh. Yeah. Oh, I don't like that at all. You have just ruined my day with that spider.
How'd it get killed?
How'd it get killed?
See that? That's the broom next spider.
Yeah, we are looking at a picture of a little dead spider. Just
throw
it away.
Are you sure it's dead?
Yes, you put it in
I'm
the.
I'm not sure it's dead.
You pick it up, you put it in the freaking toilet and flush it, and you're done.
I'm with Scott. It might jump at me.
Yeah, though. It might. You don't want to get too close to it. You never know. And besides, how did you like that in your grilled cheese sandwich? That'd be rough. All right, here's the bike thing. This scene, too. Here you go.
Get off the bike. Step away from the bike.
It's a movie filled with him repeating himself.
Yep.
Take your stupid mask. She was the most infuriating, though. Sister Rose, yes, man, yes. She looked like just a butthole.
Yeah,
she totally is. Like trying to get in his way to look for the attendance book. And
She's terrible. Everyone's terrible. Look, there's nobody I looked at in this movie and went, oh, you're pretty good. Like, you're the saving grace, or you're the one person who I think did fine here. Nobody. I cannot name you a single actor.
Likeable.
Yeah. Maybe out of James Franco and Jason Ritter, maybe.
What about his partner that was back at the police station who had the computer pull up of the gun?
Oh, that see, screen. He was terrible. He looked like somebody lost their porn extra. Like he was terrible. He was terrible.
All right.
Don't need permission. I don't know what that is.
I'm looking for a missing girl. Take that mask off your kid.
You wait a minute. Do you have permission to charge in here and just disrupt?
No! I don't need anybody's goddamn permission.
Oh, geez. Easy there, buddy. You know the best part of that was this.
Take that mask off your kid.
Take your mask off that kid. Take that mask off your kid. Yeah.
Yeah, him running around the island busting down doors was fun.
Yeah.
Once he finally lost it, that's when the movie got fun.
It got I mean I'm not going to say it was good, but I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the uptick in energy, I suppose.
Right, right.
Here's the second to last clip where he's got some of the worst acting, but I really have saved the best for last. So here's some bad acting.
Hello? Hello? Pete, help us. Help, please. Please help.
Oh, that is so bad.
Pete,
you guys, seriously. Ugh. It makes you wonder.
So I want to know, is there going to be a Wicker Man part two where Pete shows up on the island and is looking for Nicolas Cage and like the next season?
Well, it sounds like Brian's trivia about the Franco thing was going to be your sequel setup.
Yeah.
A couple of cops maybe or whatever, but nope, not going to happen. There will be no sequel to that film. There may be another remake one day.
The Wickening. I go see that.
The Wickening.
Yeah.
I'd go see that. Yeah.
All right. I've saved the best for last. It is 23 seconds long. You know it. You love it. Here it is.
No, no. No moment. What is it? What is it? What is that? What is that? What is it? Oh, no. No, not the beast. Not the beast. I'm losing my eyes. My eyes.
Oh my gosh.
By the way,
I keep your mouth shut. Don't want bees flying in your mouth.
See, that was another disconnect. I mean, there were no bees really on his eyes at that point, but in his acting, he's claiming there's bees in his eyes.
Well, not only that, my problem with it is he's doing it like a radio play.
Yeah,
like an old radio drama where he's telling
everybody
us what's
happening.
Everybody
there knows it's bees. You don't need to tell people that they're bees.
Yeah, and the old thing is like, I've got to take the gun, like that. That's an old school thing to do, and they didn't need to do it here. We have the visual. We know what's in. What are these? What's this you're putting on my head? What are those? Oh, no, not bees. They're in my eyes. Like, no, we know. We see it. You're in your Nicolas Cage. We see it. All right, well, that's him. And we're done with him forever. let's dive
in.
Let's get
the
to this. Oh, looky here. It's the Film Sack Checklist. Nick Cage can hold his breath for a long ass time. Check. That was a long time. That is a dream, I guess, but still. Mm-hmm. You really should wear something other than a suit in that place. Check. And finally, embarrassing garbage. Check. The movie itself.
Who is embarrassed though?
Everyone involved.
Everyone.
I'm embarrassed. You're embarrassed. We're all embarrassed. Star Trek stuff. We have a couple of actually I have one connection. Michael Wiseman. He was Officer Pete. He played the Beta Hydrogen, Hirogen, or however you say it, in Star Trek Voyager episode Flesh and Blood. Hirogen. Hirogen. I don't know what that is. Anyway, some alien dude. And that's all. That's all there was for Star Trek stuff.
Wow.
And then for the soundtrack, I'd give it a, I don't know. Was it there? I guess it was. It was a thing. I don't know. It wasn't anything. Yeah. It didn't help it or hurt it. It was just kind of, you needed some.
I borrowed it from Aaron Eckhart's movie as well.
Yeah. I guess so. From, what was he in? Oh, Aaron Brockovich is the thing I always think of with him. But that was like 6 years before this. Yeah. What are you doing? I don't care if you're in the side lot. Don't go over there and be in this movie. This is bad. Bad. Twitter post. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah. It's just a bad soundtrack. There's nothing, not bad, but just nothing about it is
boring.
Remarkable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember.
Yeah, unremarkable.
It.
Very good. That's it.
That's the way to put it. Let's do the Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less. Let's begin with Randy.
The Wickerman. Nick Cage plays Nick Cage again. Hey, Nick Cage, put the bummer back in the box.
Oh.
Why didn't you put the bummer back in the box?
Should have put the bummer in the box. Then Dunaway.
The Wicker Man. Like Nicolas Cage at a feminist rally. Wait for it. He'll be punching ladies out about an hour and a half.
You got to admit
punching
that.
Punching ladies at a feminist rally.
That bear scene was great. Where he punched
and sister,
and by
sister
the way,
Summer, what are you doing here?
And then, by the way, the only costume at that festival that obscures the person enough to be able not to tell what gender they are.
Yeah. You need a full bodied fluffy bear costume that apparently was from a real bear. It looked like a real bear head.
Mm.
But I don't,
I was looking for the bee girl from the Blind Melon video and didn't see her in there.
Oh, that would have been so cute with her. Like, right. She had little like round glasses on or something.
Yeah, totally.
Whenever you say that, I think of who's the Porno for Pyros lead singer? What's his name?
Perry Farrell.
I think of Perry Farrell and that other band he did.
We'll Make Great Pets.
Yeah. I know it's the same era, so that's probably why it's doing this to my head. But when you just said the B girl from that video, I thought of them and I went, Jane Says, and that's all I can think of.
Oh, Jane's Addiction.
Jane's Addiction, yeah. Jane's Addiction. Why do I do that?
I was trying to think porno for pyros, but you said porno for pyros. Yeah. Jane's Addiction.
Best thing about Perry Farrell, if I told you guys my favorite thing about him. Just a little side note, but it's when
I love this.
It's when somebody was talking to him about the ecosystem and how we need to take care of the earth and nature and everything, and he looks at the reporter and goes, "Listen, man, how would you like it if I came to your house and took a dump in your tub?" And that was his whole like save the environment speech.
Right, is the equivalent of what you're doing to the earth.
Yeah,
you're taking a dump in the earth's tub.
In the earth's tub. It's amazing.
Well, if you're gonna come to my house and take a poop and you're not gonna use the toilet, I guess the tub is second best place because I can just take a shower head and go.
Okay, hold on. I don't want to just skip past this. Let's have a discussion about where is the best alternate emergency place to take a poo in the house.
Right.
It has to be in the house, not outside. You can't go out in the yard. Right. So where do you go?
I would
do
say
it? Garbage disposal.
I wouldn't. That would be bad.
Kitchen sink is not a good. I do not want to poop in my kitchen sink.
Never.
I'm thinking either the tub, which is good, or the washing machine. Either one.
No. That's the end of that washing machine.
Yeah, I would find a waste basket with a lined plastic bag waste basket, and then. Yeah.
But I'm just saying,
outside.
Brian's right.
Any hard floor is better than these because I can just clean it up and then I'm done. Like, yeah,
you guys are both right. Both
what
Randy
about the,
and
what about
right.
the dryer? Dryer would be bad.
No, dryer's bad. Dryer's bad.
You're answering a different question. You're answering the question, where would I least like someone to take a dump in my home?
I'm waiting for Dunaway to suggest, how about the toaster oven?
Yeah.
The toaster oven. Come on. Yes. Just a little.
A dump right in the oven, right in the middle of the oven. And then they turned it on and left it on.
How about in the Keurig machine? Hmm.
The oven will be bad, but you could always heat the oven up to like 6,000 degrees in the cleaning feature. No. Now, the microwave would be bad.
Yeah, no.
You can never do anything with that microwave.
Poop particulates.
Oh, man.
Or if it would swell up like a hot dog weenie.
And there's your band name, Scott. The Burt Poop Particulates.
Yep, there you go. Burt Poop Particulates.
The subject. All I can say is that my life is pretty plain.
Yeah.
Yes, my life is pretty plain.
Oh, I missed those guys.
That was for Brian Abbott.
Take your dump in the tub. I appreciate it. I'm glad we brought that up. All right.
I'd like to reward you guys with a Twitter post, if I may.
Yeah, I'm going
to
give you. So you're up next, Abbott. What do you got?
Wicker Man. Nicolas Cage attends his first and last Burning Man Festival.
Didn't go so well. I'm not going back next year.
Not going back.
Nope. That's what it reminded me of, though, is they have that big thing, right? The Burning Man.
Right in the middle of it that they set on fire on the last day.
Yeah. Do you think
and every year they invite Nicolas Cage, and every year he goes, nope.
Nope, not coming.
Nope.
Yeah.
How comfortable, how roomy is the head on that thing?
I'm not coming. Are there bees? I don't want any bees. Here's my question, though. Do you think that the Burning Man people got the inspiration? I mean, I know it's an old tale of, like, druid people building a giant man statue and burning it.
Yeah,
but do you think it was like the Burning Man people who I don't know
I
who founded it?
That I'm sure there's some hairy hippies that would get mad at me if I got that wrong. So yeah. I'm not gonna. Mm-mm.
You don't want to miss
no idea. Hippies. I mean, because the Burning Man started in what, like the 80s,
right?
Late 80s, early 90s, or something.
Something like that. Yeah. It's like three people.
But effigies.
Here we go.
Effigies go back 10,000 years.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Hold on. There is a thing. I'm finding it. 1 second here. By 1988, Larry Harvey formally named the summer solstice ritual Burning Man by tilting flyers for the happening as such to ward off references such as Wicker Man, referring to the ancient druid practice of burning humans in wicker cages. Harvey has stated that he had not seen the 1973 cult film The Wicker Man until many years after, and that did not inspire the action.
Oh, look at you. This is great. What an age we live in, man. This is amazing.
That was more satisfying than this whole movie.
It kind of was. Listen, if this was like we were all in high school and the internet didn't exist and we were all sitting around talking about this sort of thing, recording to some audio tape somewhere, we wouldn't have had a way to find that out.
We'd be wondering forever.
Actually, we probably wouldn't know about Burning Man at all. It was happening under our noses.
And 1986 was the first thing, and they made a wooden effigy on the afternoon of June 21st, 1986, cobbled together using scrap wood to be torched later that evening.
Wow. All right. They were all naked and stuff. That's what they do there.
Who knows? Yeah. But they actually had humans in wicker cages in the druid. It's an ancient druid practice. I didn't realize that was pulled right used right in the movie, like used correctly in the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Poorly, but correctly.
Yes. Poorly, but correctly. Accurately, but stupid.
Well, that's all well and good.
Accurately, but stupid. That's my favorite.
Look what I got here. Alternate titles. These are just in. This was almost called, Is There Anything More Stupid Than a Guy in a Suit on a Bike? Or I'm sure Johnny Ramone Would Be Pleased, I guess is the other title. I went with. All right, we got some emails. I got two of them today. Hey. And I'm going to read these to people. Filmsack@gmail.com is where they came from, so you can send yours to that. And here is the first email. This is from Ian from Wales. He says, Hi, guys. That's Australian. I don't know why I did that.
Good day, mate.
Good day, mate.
Well, I used to live in Australia, but now I live in Wales.
It's great. This is an email. All right, he says, I've just finished watching the director's cut of Kingdom of Heaven on your recommendation and thoroughly enjoyed it. The highest being Liam Neeson's character saying, quote, I once fought 2 days with an arrow through my testicle, unquote. Mm. That's a good line. I also own the director's cut of Dark City and have watched The Good, the Bad, and the Weird again due to the recommendation of your good selves. All the best and thank you for the hard work and your great recommendations, Ian from Wales. So a nice little complimentary email, apparently, yeah, once in a while.
Those are all good movies.
Yeah, they are right? Good movies. Dark City is amazing. Watch the director's cut of Dark City. So yes. Good. Such a movie. Then the other email from Scott in sleepy Los Angeles says this. I just woke up and had to write in. This evening, I fell asleep to an old episode of FilmSack, not realizing it was the one with a 15-minute screen compilation tacked at the end. Awesome. And he says, after a while, I also had to pee. So in my very vivid dream, I'm walking up to the urinal in a men's room thinking, my Lord, what is happening in these stalls? Love the show, though. Scott in sleepless Los Angeles.
Nice.
Or he's sleepless in Los Angeles. Sleepless in Los Angeles. Yeah, there's no sleepy. People don't sleep in Los Angeles. Excellent
Which
email.
Episode was that?
I can't remember. Forever ago, and I don't remember which one, but somebody made that big, long scream compilation, and it was like 15 minutes of screams from all the screams that we recorded from movies. Mm-hmm. It's pretty special. I don't know if that person has continued to gather them, but if they have, it's probably a good half hour or more now of screams, solid screams. I don't know why if we would inflict that upon our listeners. We like you guys too much to do that at this point, but we love your emails, so keep those coming, filmsack@gmail.com. Next week's movie, we delve into the nightmarish world of Freddy Krueger, do we not?
Yes, and the episode is coming out on Halloween.
Yes.
It's our final Halloween.
Is Halloween Monday or Sunday this year?
It's Monday.
Okay. Right. So which one is it? Is the two?
Two.
Which one was it?
Two.
Freddy,
two.
Nightmare 2.
Nightmare 2.
Now, is that the one with Johnny
Depp?
Dream
Warriors.
No, that's four.
Johnny Depp.
Oh, is it? Okay. You're right.
Yeah. First one's Johnny Depp. That's right. Second one is nobody that's notable.
Just the same woman from the first one, right? She comes back for the second one.
Yeah.
Right.
Three or four, or four and five. We just have the lady we had on yesterday. Her name is Jill Wilcox, and she was on Current Geek last night. And she was awesome.
Admit,
she was so nice.
That is awesome. I got to go back and listen to that. Yeah. Three is the best, in my opinion. Dream Warriors.
The key is for us to butcher Nightmare on Elm Street lore.
Mm. Yeah. Well,
That's what we're going to do.
She had said last night on the show, or maybe it was Garrett, our other guest, but somebody had said that 2 is not considered canon by aficionados of that series, and I don't know why that is. So
we're going to butcher the lore.
Elm Streeters? What do they call fans of the Elm Street series?
Elmers.
Kruger's Keeds.
I like Elmers a lot. Elmers is good. Oh, my heck. We're sticking with Elmers.
Yes. All right.
Like the glue.
Are you an Elmer too?
Yeah, I've seen every movie.
I love getting together with Elmers at nightmare conventions.
Oh, they're the best.
We really stick together.
Yeah, with Elmer's glue. Anyway, so that's our next movie. Come on back for that. That's our final Halloween film, and it will be the last episode. Well, let's see. The next week we're all in Anaheim, so you're not going to hear us at all that week, but we'll be back the following with a whole new set of whatever. I don't know, some kind of rad stuff. in the meantime, filmsack.com is the website. You can also leave us voicemails. We're happy to play those as well at 801-471-0462. Again, the email address is filmsack@gmail.com. We are on Twitter @filmsack, and you can leave us reviews on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy. Mm-hmm. We'll see you next time.
How'd the show end?
Not my eyes. We'll be right back.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Jeez. Jeez. Oh. Jeez.